Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Wouldn't that be nice? All together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even among or upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Caritas Dei, tifosa est in pulibus nostris, alleluia. Per in habitantem spiritum, eius in nobis, alleluia. Per in habitantem spiritum, eius in nobis, alleluia. Caritas Dei, tifosa est in pulibus nostris, caritatibus nostris, alleluia. Caritas Dei diffusa est in coribus nostris, alleluia. Per in habitantem spiritum, eius in nobis, alleluia. Per in habitantem spiritum, eius in nobis, alleluia. Caritas Dei diffusa est in coribus nostris, alleluia. Caritas Dei diffusa est in coribus nostris, alleluia.
Well, it's Pentecost, and I got great preachers helping me today. So we're going to try our best, and I want you to join us in this exercise of listening for the Word of God and trying to live it. Here in Acts, we get a snapshot of the first church. The 11 remaining disciples had convened. The faithful women had also come. Jesus' brothers are all there. That's what Scripture says. No mention is made of their families, but it's possible that a wife of one of the disciples was there, or a son, or others among their number. So that congregation in that story is probably 17 strong at least, but maybe more, 20, 25. What can we learn from them about the church?
First, we know the earliest members of the early church were patient. They had to be. Jesus, risen from the dead, had ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Waiting is difficult. Will Willimon says that waiting is an onerous burden for us computerized and technically and technologically impatient moderns who live in an age of instant everything. Our waiting implies that the things which need doing are beyond our ability to accomplish solely by our own effort, our programs, our crusades. Some other empowerment is needed. Therefore, the church waits and prays. That empowerment, Jesus says, is coming in the form of the Holy Spirit.
We know that this early church has questions. They wonder if Jesus is about to restore the kingdom of Israel. Jesus says two things by way of reply. First, there are things that are not for us to know. In other words, live faithfully in the present. Don't be overly concerned about things that are in God's hands. We don't know the future, and there is grace in not knowing. The psalmist didn't say, "This is the century the Lord has made," though it is, but rather, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Stay grounded in the now. Live today well. Jesus also implies that these disciples are thinking too small. They ask about the kingdom of Israel, but what Jesus has been talking about all along is not just the kingdom of Israel, but the kingdom of God. A major emphasis in the books of Acts is how God is reaching for the whole world, both Jews and everybody else. Yes, God cares about Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. He says so, but God also cares for the ends of the world. Jesus invites both the ancient church and the modern church to think bigger. God cares for the whole global family.
And who is supposed to spread this good news? Jesus lays that responsibility on that congregation of 17 or 25 souls. You are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. You. The text says that Jesus, after saying these things, is lifted into heaven. Angels come with a message of encouragement. Jesus will come again. Relax. In the meantime,
we learn much about discipleship when we pay attention to what happened next. They stayed together.
They were all together in one place.
They were all together in one place.
Just like we are together now.
You mean the early church was together on Facebook Live and YouTube?
No, I mean that they were together of one accord, united, just like we are. I do not like the fact that the coronavirus has required us to be physically distant. I miss hugs. Nor do I like that the coronavirus has closed down our beautiful sanctuary from face-to-face, in-person worship. It is a beautiful place. But that hasn't stopped us from gathering.
I meet with people every day in Zoom meetings. We have mission-related meetings. We have Bible studies. We study together. We pray together. The church is alive.
Amen.
People are healthier when they are part of a wider community. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote from the Birmingham jail that we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. He was saying that when anybody faces injustice, we all face injustice. Mm-hmm. And like it or not, we are one people.
I like being part of one really big family. In Acts, we read about how central the community of faith is. The community shares resources for the common good. They break bread together. They take care of each other. They gather weekly for worship. They understood this idea of being part of the same garment, the same body, the heartbeat of the same God. This early church on the first day did an amazing and central thing. They stayed together.
They stayed together. All together. In one place.
The scripture tells us something else they did, no less amazing. They prayed. Denzel Washington gave advice to a bunch of actors. One time they were gathered around him on the stage, and he used an expression I've never heard before. He said, "At night when you go to bed, I hope you put your shoes way under the bed." Now this caused the crowd to erupt, you know, with kind of cheers. And they knew what he was talking about. I had never heard what this phrase meant. When your shoes are way under the bed, in the morning, you have to get on your hands and knees to get them out. So while you're down there, Denzel Washington said, pray.
The early church didn't need reminding to put their shoes away under their bed. The scripture says they were constantly devoted to prayer. And while they waited, there was nothing left for them to do.
What do we learn from the early church about being a disciple of Jesus Christ?
They were patient.
They trusted Jesus' promise that they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
They had questions, and questions are okay.
They were called to be witnesses, both nearby and around the world.
They valued community by staying together.
They prayed together. And the church grew.
Jenny Barksdale is a great example of the faith for me. And she says that ministry is relationship, relationship, relationship. And from that tiny gathering of early Christians, relationships flourished everywhere.
They dug wells. They delivered Chromebooks to students in need. They delivered groceries to families in need. They prayed for one another. They contributed to church budgets. They marched in the streets. They knitted prayer shawls together and hats and mittens.
They taught and studied together. They encouraged one another. They visited the elderly. They sang praises to God. They tackled poverty together. They built stair rails. They stood up for those without a voice. They gardened. They made masks. They tutored. They worshiped together in houses and synagogues and churches and in catacombs. They prayed.
They listened. They followed. They tried. They led worship in nearby congregations with amateur preachers. Sometimes they succeeded. Sometimes they failed. They died. They danced. They visited their Cuban brothers and sisters. They finger-painted with five-year-olds. They shared recipes with people of other cultures. They raised children. They learned each other's languages. They worked quietly behind the scenes. They were executed in public places.
They helped neighborhood kids with their homework. They worked hard to disrupt the school-to-prison pipeline by founding agencies like Dream House. They founded Safe House. They started ESL programs.
They worked jobs for too little pay. They shunned ostentation. They put Jesus at the center of their lives.
They put Jesus at the center of their lives.
They were blinded on the road to Damascus. Their sons and daughters proclaimed God's message. Their young men saw visions. Their old men dreamed dreams. They laid hands on the hurting. They reached out to the faraway.
As we read the rest of the book of Acts, we see this small congregation, empowered by the Holy Spirit, quickly becoming Great Commission people. That is, they became witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that Jesus commanded them.
This ragtag group of Christians, empowered by the Holy Spirit, soon became the Great Commandment people, loving their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving their neighbor as they love themselves.
By the power of God's Holy Spirit, we stand with those people.
By the power of God's Holy Spirit, we are those people.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are standing together now, right now, all together.
In one place. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.